So now perhaps we can move on to the next set of verses. Verse 5, all the days of the vow of his separation shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled in which he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall be holy, and let the locks of his hair of his head grow. And all the days that he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father, his mother, for his brother, or for his sister when they die, because of the consecration of God is upon his head. All the days of his separation is he to be holy unto the Lord. So now we're dealing with the hair, and we're dealing with dead things. So what do we learn with the hair? Yesterday I was driving to the conference here, and there were, you know, it was kind of desolate back here on this road, and as we were getting closer to the conference grounds, there were two people that were on a bicycle. They were young people, and this person in the front had hair that was down the middle of the back, and as we drove, was driving up on these two people, you know, someone in the car said, is that a guy or is that a girl? And then as we passed, we could see it was a young lady. Why do you think that was said? It was a beautiful head of hair. Would it have been a little disappointing if when we passed by, we saw that that was a male? That had such a beautiful womanly head of hair upon his head. I think we all sighed a sigh of relief when we saw it was a young lady. So what is it, this thing with the hair? What does it mean, both on the head of a male or female, and in relation to the Nazarite vow?
Well, it's certainly a mark of distinctiveness. That is, very few people would do this. You would stand out as someone who's doing something special. This time, they'd know you were a Nazirite.
Because
of your hair. Because of the way you acted. Because of what you didn't do.
On a guy, hair is generally a shame or a reproach. In a lot of cultures, you see that the guy cuts his hair. In 1 Corinthians 11:14, Paul says, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? It doesn't say it's a sin, although a lot of people might try to say that. It just says it's a shame. It looks bad. People, for whatever reason, we laugh at that, even today. So here, the Nazirite, at least the guy Nazirite, he's going to have this long hair, this long beard. He's going to look funny. But it's this vow unto the Lord. It's something he has to be okay with.
So young people, help us out. I mean, this is something that is relatively obvious and easy for us to understand. So just read, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. So what is the thought of the hair with the woman?
Well, there's no razor to come, but I assume it also meant no trimming or anything like that. So the ladies couldn't have layers, and the men couldn't have a nice trimmed beard or a fade haircut. And if you see somebody around walking in the city like this, in New York City or Toronto or Virginia Beach, wherever city is closest to you, You would think they're an outsider. They're not from there, because usually in the city people are clean cut and shaven, and it's people from the hills or something like that that are living dependent on the land. So I, just to me, it, clean cut and shaven and sharp, as we would say, is kind of a worldly standard. Somebody that's disassociated with civilization, sometimes they're scraggly and, you know, they don't have time to cut their hair. So I think there's some sort of disassociation with what's normal in the world. It's, you don't get to make yourself look the way you want to look. It's however it grows, and that's what you're stuck with. And so you're not going to look like you're from some Babylonian civilization or from Jerusalem if you're looking scraggly. They're gonna think you're not dependent on the world. I don't know if that's making sense. Coming out.
There's also a sense of shame for the woman as well. It's not just the man, because at the end of the vow, the woman shaves her head as well, and the hair is shaved. And we have in 1 Corinthians 11 also that it's a shame for a woman to have her head shaved. Mm. So there's shame associated for both the man and the woman, but just at different points during the vow. So the man has the shame while his hair is long, and then the woman has the shame associated with it after the vow when her head is shaved.
I wonder if I can get some help. We spoke about doesn't nature. And it seems to me this act is unnatural. Mm-hmm. It is from a different origin, if you might say. So I'm just wondering if I could get some help in relationship to that.
And this is really how God distinct the males and the females. The whole idea of woman, God had given them long hair. Again, Phil mentioned 1 Corinthians again, it's the idea of a veil. So a long hair is a distinct, like you said, riding, that's what you expected. But we're living in a messed up society where there is males and females, very hardly to tell them apart now with the way the world are doing things. Mm-hmm. So it is a distinct for the woman to have a long hair. And it means, really, just so we could move on here, the whole idea of subjection. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that is really the bottom line. A long hair speaks of subjection. It speaks of glory. It speaks of a veil. That's in a natural realm. That's what 1 Corinthians teaches. But also, it speaks of subjection. That's why when God created, God has an order. It is not somebody that is lower than somebody. We need to make that very, very clearly. It's not a matter of ranking somebody. A man is in higher ranks than a woman. That's not at all. Not at all the Christianity or the scripture thoughts at all. But there is an order. And the order is that woman would have a hair, which distinct them, and it speaks of subjection. So a man who is a Nazarite, or a woman who is a Nazarite, will say, I am subject to the Spirit of God, to the Word of God, to the will of God. That is what am I saying. So every true believer in the Lord Jesus should have spiritual long hair. That mark them out. That when I look at a believer, even if he is like Brother Tony or Brother John, I could see long hair. I could see long hair. Why? Because I am talking about brothers who are subject themselves to the Word of God, to the will of God, and to the commandment of God.
Could you say, too, along with what Matthew was saying, that there's that lack of personal identity that would come from, you know, you have the distinctive hairstyle. So when you see the Nazarite, you're not thinking that's Joey or that's Matthew. That is a Nazarite. It's not I, but Christ.